Welcome back to Trends in Low Places, a comedic exploration of the dumbest stories of the day. I am one of your hosts, Mike Cushing.
And I am the Burt Ward to his Adam West, Michael Howard.
I didn't think we were that campy, buddy.
No, but I just wanted to use it as an excuse to talk about my being Burt Ward's just giant hog.
Oh, Burt Ward
it's
had a big
so
one?
Huge.
He hung it? He hung it on?
Yeah, there was an article today that I came across that was titled Batman 66, ABC had Burt Ward take penis shrinking pills. And so I was like, all right, I want to read about this. It must be sure. Some kind of inside baseball. Maybe there was a story about the making of. Oh no, this was just an interview with Burt Ward, who played Robin in the 1966 Batman, okay. Telling everyone about how his penis made such a impact, I guess, on the old Robin costume that they gave him penis shrinking pills to take so it would reduce his footprint.
More like
I
the
guess.
Boy Thunder, huh?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Mm.
I found a picture of him. It's hard to tell, but it looks like this dude is packing some serious heat down there.
So he wasn't lying.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if they made him take pills to, like, Bert, please, children watch this show. Your dick is just too big. It's just, we're all in awe and terror of your huge hog.
He says that the costume drew the ire of the Catholic League of Decency, and they thought that Robin had a very large bulge for television.
I mean, knowing the history of, like, what comics had to go through for, like, the Comics Authority and all that shit, I believe that somebody looked at this nice man in his green underwear and tights running around fighting crime and was like, yeah, it's cool that he's punching and saying zip and zop a lot, but that dick is just too much.
That dick, though. You know, it does explain why Burt Ward, or they're selling Burt Ward photos where he's standing there with his legs kind of spread out and he's holding his cape around just so you can see the bulge. To yeah. Really show it off.
It does appear that most of the action figures made of Burt Ward's Robin do appear to also have a significant package.
Just, I'm seeing that now. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and it could be he's just stuffing it, you know, the utility belt, but I think this dude just had a massive donger. Mike, I'm looking at... Did you read the entire article? Because you sent it to me just now, and I...
You know, I was looking through it and I kind of stopped after it just seemed like it was just an article of Burt Ward just going on and on about his giant dong and how he didn't actually party.
Yeah, it's important to it is so important to note that he did reveal that. It was like, oh yeah, no, they made me do this. Like, I had a huge dong, but on my own. And everyone said it was too big.
everyone's saying how it's just way too big.
Yeah, and then he was like, yeah, even though I had this huge-ass dong and I was 20 years old and I was in Hollywood, no one ever knew that because I never smoked, drank, or did drugs, so I never went to a bar in my entire life. So I didn't go out and have a good time and, you know, sling this dick. But
I could have, but I didn't.
I could have, but I didn't. Did you get to the last paragraph?
I don't think so.
Okay, so... Second, the last sentence before this is, these days, he has devoted himself to charity with him and his wife running the world's largest giant dog rescue charity.
Oh, that's sweet. No, I didn't see that.
Great. Okay, so at the end of it, 15,500 dogs would be dead if it weren't for me and my wife, Tracy Posner, and I. At all times, we have a minimum of 50 dogs at our house with us. We make our dog food. This is the most buckwild thing I think I've quoted on this entire show to date. We have discovered a way to double and even triple the lifespan of dogs. Our food is in all the stores across America. It's called Gentle Giants, and we don't take a penny from it.
So, double and triple. So maybe he's the reason for the new dog math, huh?
Yeah, he broke dog math.
Triple the lifespan of dogs.
Yeah.
Which, that's quite the claim.
Yeah, I mean, how old was the beast in Sandlot? I think they say he lived
18
like
or something.
Yeah, which is old for a giant. So I
very
mean,
old.
That dog got near double.
Near
this,
double.
Burt Ward and his gigantic penis and his good dog food have exceeded that by a factor of two. It's amazing.
You know, this guy he does have the confidence of someone with just a huge dong, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, to say that?
Mm-hmm. Making claims like that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Michael, I too have discovered a secret to life. Foolproof.
Is it to eat the Gentle Giant's dog food and triple your lifespan?
I'll live forever. Not even God himself could kill me on this dog food. No, Michael, Michael Cushing, have discovered how to get out of jury duty. Foolproof plan. Foolproof way to do it.
Oh, you did get a jury summons recently.
Yes, I did.
I saw that. And you got out of it?
Yeah, 100%.
Are you about to blow up your spot, though, and get arrested?
No. Here's exactly, Michael, this is so critically important. This is how it's done. Okay, so it's very important that you get the summons maybe second week of December. Let's say December 13th. And then your jury duty date is January 13th, yesterday at this point.
Perfect. Yeah, yep.
Perfect timing. It's so super important that you put the jury duty summons and all the instructions on your counter. Mm-hmm. And by counter, I mean a bookshelf with other things on it that you will lose the summons in.
All right, I'm taking notes.
Then you leave your home for at least, I'll say 5 to 10 days for the holidays.
Okay.
Don't think about it whatsoever. Get back. Again, so important. You've lost the jury duty summons. You've forgotten about it. You've lost it. You've done nothing. So critically important. Then you find it on, I don't know, let's say January 10th.
Okay, yeah. Oh, it's plenty of time.
January 10th, that's a Friday. Let's say at, I don't know, 6 p.m. after the courthouse closes.
Mm.
You see on there that you have to check on, and also, I can't stress this enough, it is so super important to fill your Monday, January 13th with meetings, wall-to-wall meetings that you cannot miss or you will get fired. That cannot be overstated, so important. Then look at the letter, say, okay, I have to check if I'm going there on Monday. So like check the website after 7 p.m. on Sunday.
So you get a summons, but that doesn't mean you necessarily have to show up?
Well, so there are groups, so you have to check if you're going to get called.
Oh.
So again, so super important. Don't tell your boss, don't tell anyone, don't put anything on your calendar that, hey, I might be out on, like, just don't say a word to anybody. You got to put all the right energy out into the universe.
Yeah.
And then again, do not check the website on that Sunday night because you don't want to know. One way or another, it's going to ruin it. So then wake up at, like, I don't know, 6 a.m. And then again, still do not check the website until you're about to leave for work. And then just be like, oh, I was in group 5 and I'm not required to go in today. And that's, Michael, how I, legal genius, legal beagle, got out of, Michael Cushing, got out of jury duty. Foolproof plan, so it's everyone can do it. I don't know why more people don't do it.
If I'm counting correctly, it's only like 6 steps, really. And most of them are just forgetting.
Yeah, most of the steps that you have to do are actually do nothing.
Yeah.
But that's it. That is it.
Those are my kind of steps, though, when I'm doing something.
Do nothing between 1 and 6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing that you have to do, you honestly don't even have to do that one. Like, I didn't have to check. And it's very good that I did. And I was like, okay, cool. I can go to work without qualms. Or I don't have to call anyone to be like, oh, hey, don't take me to jail.
There's my question. Like, they send you it in the mail. Do they call you? Like, sometimes I go weeks without checking my mail. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Hey, holidays? No, thank you.
Yeah. So, like, what happens if I just didn't get it and I don't show up? Then what happens?
I think legally, well, again, Michael, if you followed the steps correctly, nothing. Nothing happens because you're in the clear. You've done everything you need to do. You crossed all the I's, dotted all the T's, and you're done. Legally speaking, you're bulletproof, baby.
What happens if I don't show up for jury duty?
They said something about yada, 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 contempt of court, possible jail time and
the
fine.
The judge will issue a bench warrant. Yeah.
Which, like, hey, don't they have better things to do?
Yeah,
what,
like,
you're going to come find me?
What? Like, I just saying, like, I've missed things that I wanted to do because I just forgot about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the chances of me remembering to do something I don't want to do are, like, slim to none.
Right, but Michael, guess what? You do get paid $25. per day.
Oh, well then.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, this is my first jury duty summons. I had every intention of going again, though. Did forget, critically important, forgot the whole thing. But again, it all worked out. Cause I followed the Michael Cushing method. It can be yours for Patreon exclusive. The last 5 minutes are Patreon exclusive. You have to give us $5 a month. So yeah, Michael. So yeah, that's my legal advice for
the week. Good.
Take it to the bank, baby.
You should work for LegalZoom.
Yeah.
Just giving out just fire advice.
Yeah. Use code TILP at checkout on LegalZoom.com. Michael, speaking of, this could be an all legal episode, I think, if we really wanted to get right down to it.
Yeah, I can't think of two more qualified people than us to talk about the most important legal issues of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Michael, I need to. Michael, how do you, if you, you know, if you had your druthers, how would you solve a conflict in your life?
Avoid it as long as possible until, hopefully, against all hope, it goes away.
Hey, again, the steps work for a lot of things. Steps 1 through 6 of just do nothing.
You know what? I'm starting to like it. We should write a book.
The do nothing method.
Yeah. The problem is that, boy, the steps for writing a book are not those.
They're not involved in the, yeah, rats.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, the one problem with the do nothing method is all the people who do things. Because they're constantly doing things at you and around you that require you to do things.
React to those things.
Yeah. It's a shame. Well, Michael, I want to tell you a story about, and honestly, I'm gonna break this one out. I don't see the crime here at all.
Okay.
I'm gonna read you the headline. Mother, 35 years old, is facing life behind bars after she arranged, quote, a medieval fight to the death duel between her ex-husband and her lover to see which of them would win her hand.
Okay, was she coercing these gentlemen in some way? Was she like, were they her prisoner and they were in like they were being held in a cage? Like, how did she get them to fight for her to a death and that's her fault?
They divorced. They were still kind of in touch with each other. The woman, I am not even going to attempt to pronounce these last names. It's from the UK. It might be Lithuania. Nope, it's in the UK, but they are all of Lithuanian descent. So a woman named Asta left her husband, Giedris, and then she started seeing a man named Mantis.
Mantis?
Yeah, who's a 25-year-old, and she met him after he was released from prison in Lithuania. But she was still in a physical relationship with her ex-husband, Keatrice. So, apparently, Mantis, the boyfriend, arrived in the UK just 5 days before the murder. I'm going to call it a murder, not a duel, to stay at her home. So, she was with both of them.
So, they were both, were they both staying in the same house then?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But, so she basically, so the husband didn't want a divorce. He was providing financial support and, again, still having sex with her. So the two men met in an alley after she basically suggested, hey, why don't you two go fight to the death? And then I will just be with the winner. And they both went to Whalebone Lane and met in an alleyway.
Wait, it's called Whalebone Lane.
Whalebone Lane. Again, very apropos.
I like it.
Yeah. And then Mantis, who, you know, I don't necessarily subscribe that, like, you know, being younger makes you better at certain things, but he was 25, again, fighting a 35-year-old man, and had just been recently released from prison. And I think I will confidently say I'm in the best shape of my life right now at 34. There's not any chance in the world I could beat up any 25-year-old.
Especially not one who had been to prison.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No.
Yeah. So basically, she just arranged all of this. There were text messages saying, hey, you guys should go
fight. I think we talked about
this
before, but like, what we've talked about, what age you think that it would be like, you can beat 100%, you can beat up 100% of this age people.
Yeah.
And it is definitely well below 25.
Yeah, it's well below
25.
It might
even be half of that, less than half of that.
We did talk about, I think you sent me a picture of the world's strongest 11-year-old who was just doing a whole bunch of like squats.
He was like deadlifting like 200 kilos or something like that.
Yeah, but again, though, like, sure, kid's strong. He's also 4 foot nothing.
He was tiny. We decided that we could definitely throw him pretty far.
Yeah, just grab an arm, grab a leg, and start spinning. That kid is gonzo. I don't care how much he benches. So she arranged this. She arranged a meeting in a graveyard. And then, she belittled both of them and then suggested they go out and basically just fight. Here's where there is some crime. So again, Mantis did stab the man 35 times and killed him to death.
See, that's on Mantis, though.
Right. I don't, like, she like, was just like...
That's unnecessary.
She did, this is so important, she did harbor him in her home and lie to police and delete all the text messages to him after the murder. So like,
it's because she knew they were going to overreact and think it was something that it wasn't, because it was clearly just a love duel, which I thought this was America.
UK, which I think even fewer laws.
I thought this was UK.
Yeah.
Okay. Brexit. Yeah,
I don't see the crime for her. It was like, no, sorry. She just sent out some texts and then was like,
she suggested something and then they followed through on it like idiots, but that's not her fault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm like, hey, asshole, go jump off a bridge, and they do, like, that's not on me.
That's not on me. Unless I gave him, like, bridge jumping drugs. And then, yeah, okay, I did it. But
well, sure, then, yeah.
This, to me, just feels like, certainly not a victim without, or a crime without a victim, but, like, she's no criminal mastermind. Reading some of this, the rest of the story, I don't want to drain it. She seems actually pretty stupid, as does everyone else in the story. But, yeah.
So, okay, I'm reading the story now. And what it seems to me like is that the problem here is that the 25-year-old Mantis, he wanted to murder
somebody. Yeah.
Ghidras big time. And she kind of set up this fake like duel, knowing good and well that the 25-year-old was gonna murder the other guy.
Yeah.
I'm not as on board with that. Like, if she had just met in the alley and broke a pool cue in two and threw it down on the ground like Heath Ledger's Joker.
Sure.
Then that's fine. That's one thing. But like, it seems like they just planned to kill the ex-husband, and she thought of a very clever, well, in her mind, very clever way to get away with all of this.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll just tell him it was a duel. No big deal.
No bigs. I got all the text messages to prove it. Michael, you sent me another story that is, I think, adjacent. That there's one critical element of this that I really want to dive into.
It is adjacent. Oh God,
man, I'm just scoping out Burt Ward's hog again. This thing was legit. I just found another stock photo of him like spreading his cape, just really peacocking it.
Yeah, he clearly wants you to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably was had some kind of NDA until like 2020 from the show that was like, okay, look, you can't talk about how big your dick was until 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that calendar rolled over, God, he woke up at like 4 a.m. ready.
It's penis day.
Oh shit. He's the guy who's been writing Penis Man all over the place in Arizona. Yeah. So adjacent story. This one happened in Kansas.
Okay.
So, you know, the...
America's UK.
America's UK. A Kansas man asked an Iowa court... Oh, actually, sorry, it happened in Des Moines, Iowa. Kansas man asked an Iowa court to grant his motion for trial by combat so he can meet his ex-wife and her attorney on the field of battle where he will rend their souls from their corporal bodies. David Ostrom, 40, of Paolo, Kansas, claims in court documents that his ex-wife, Bridget Ostrom, 38, quote-unquote, destroyed him legally. He asked the Iowa District Court to give him 12 weeks lead time to source or forge katana and wakizashi swords, according to the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a very, very good point here.
Yeah.
To this day, trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in these United States, and it was most recently used as recently as 1818 in a British court.
Yes. So this is what I wanted to really dive into.
So basically, there's nothing in the rule book that says that I can't use this katana to chop off my wife and my ex-wife and her lawyer's heads.
Exactly. It's the Air Bud loophole of law.
Like Air Bud 72, trial by combat.
Well, and I think the thing I really like, one, is that he is still treating this as a full legal proceeding. He wants to challenge his wife and her attorney.
And the attorney.
we're like, the rending of the soul seems like a bit of your judge, jury, and executioner, not just judge in this sense. And like, that does seem like, hey, man, that's God's business. You can't rend those souls. But he is treating it like a legal proceeding, which I really like. To build on the Air Bud thing, the fact that he's not wrong about this, really, this like law by like lack of omission is something I really want to explore. Because like,
well, it's like the strict interpretation of the Constitution basically says if powers aren't given to mm-hmm. the government, then they don't have them.
Right. And so that's those ding dongs over in Europe or in England wrote the Magna Carta and like said that we have to wear funny wigs and like, you know, no guns and stuff. And then we wrote the Constitution and all that. We as a society made those laws, made all this shit to replace trial by like combat. Like we all just agreed that like, okay, like one, we have guns now. So like, I guess we're going to use those instead of swords. And then, oh, that's not civilized. So like, okay, I guess we'll do like a trial of your peers. So we made laws, but we forgot to just say, like, oh, by the way, you can't challenge your wife and her attorney to combat.
By the way, that old one, nah, no more on that.
Yeah. We forgot to say, and also not those. Sorry. Explicitly no to swords.
The best part about it, though, is that, like, it's a real motion that he made in a court of law,
mm-hmm.
which means that
he can make an appeal
for his wife. Has to respond to it in his own filing.
Mm-hmm.
He filed a resistance to the trial by combat motion by first telling him that he probably meant corporeal bodies.
Yeah, I was gonna call bodies. That one out, but sorry.
he does say, although Ostrom and the potential combatant do have souls to be rended, they respectfully request that the court not order this done. I'm obsessed with this story now.
And again, here's another quote. It should be noted that just because the U.S. and Iowa constitutions, count them two constitutions, do not specifically prohibit battling another person with a deadly katana sword. It's redundant. Lawyer. Idiot. It does prohibit a court sitting in equity from ordering the same.
Does it though?
Does it though? Does it actually, bud? I don't think so. It's like, yeah, you know what? Go settle this one. I'm bored. It's 2020. I want to be a fun judge. I'm going to shake it up a little bit.
Historically, he said in court records, trial by combat was not always won by way of death, but also when a party cries craven, yielding to the other.
Okay.
He says, respondent and counsel have proven themselves to be cravens by refusing to answer the call to battle. Thus, they should lose this motion by default.
That is some, like, bird law bullshit that I am pretty into, actually. And I also was like, okay, if I can't kill them, I do want to proceed with, quote, a blunted practice style of swordplay. So I'll just beat the shit out of them with blunt swords.
He does say that he does not have any experience with sword fighting. So I think that's an important distinction, because if you're going to do trial by combat, I feel like it should be something that neither party is good at.
Right. And so that this is the can of worms, I think. So, yeah, this man. Again, they have not explicitly ruled out trial by combat as a whole. Not just swords. Any trial by combat is fair game.
Yeah.
Trial by Scrabble. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. I have such a good word brain. Trial by Ultimate Ninja Warrior. Yep. I'll kick your ass, man. Scrubby Josh, you need to settle something in court? Put it in the ring, baby. Throw me through a table.
Yeah, I mean...
I want to sue all of our listeners for sending me frog pictures.
Oh,
gonna meet you on the field of battle, assholes! Don't bring a frog; I will die.
I was gonna say, you know, if you go to tribal combat with anyone from our listenership, it's definitely gonna be frogs.
Well, the thing is, if I'm the one bringing the crime, so I or the suit, so I can say trial by combat. I get to choose. That's the thing about trial by combat. You get to choose the weapon.
Oh, so you're gonna no frogs?
Yeah, and if someone does bring a frog, I will have a sword and or gun. So
I'm very torn because on one hand, this is barbaric, and there's a reason that we don't do stuff like this anymore.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But on the other hand, how funny would it be to see, like, two fucking morons who have never used nunchucks before battle it out?
Really?
over like a $1,000 like civil suit.
Whoever hits himself in the nards first loses. Sorry.
You know, like not deadly weapons. I just like I want to see just normal.
No, like have two assholes play Double Dare just by themselves.
Yes. Like Judge Judy, but instead of rendering your verdict,
it's Mark Summers.
You send them to the wall.
Yeah. I mean,
gladiator style.
You know what the problem with our legal system is, Michael?
I mean, a lot of things. Mostly the institutionalized racism.
Okay, yeah. Now that I'm... Okay, so, you know, like, if you were going to make an itemized list of all the things that was wrong with our legal system, obviously yeah. The jury duty selection process, not even on the list. It's so good. It works every time.
So good.
Yeah,
so
that
good.
One is... Put that one to bed. Guys nailed it in one. Maybe, like, 200 things down the list is... It's just not fun enough.
It's just not fun. It's definitely not fun. Not for anyone, really. And
like, listen, if jury duty entailed me going and, like, I don't know, watching two dudes try to eat 15 pizzas and whoever ate the most pizzas in a half an hour, they won their case. I'm going. I'm interested.
And you know what? Like, we do have a problem with frivolous lawsuits, right? Like, we allow a lot of lawsuits that probably shouldn't happen, and then counter lawsuits, especially with some of these companies with deep pockets and lots of lawyers. Like, if you could just be like, you have a problem with McDonald's and they brought their 700 lawyers, and you just pick one out and you're like, hey, you buddy,
hey, you ready for arbitration, dickhead?
When I beat you in Mario Kart, this is over.
I'm gonna own, call me Mr. Croc, baby. I'm gonna take this place over. Yeah, Michael, your point. We have a lot of frivolous lawsuits. No frivolous trials.
Mm-mm.
Where's that at? Also, can you imagine the appeals process? Also, can you imagine the appeals process of this trial?
Yeah.
Where this guy is going to appeal. And I mean, honestly, this man should take this to the Supreme Court.
I do want to see the opinion on that one.
I mean, mostly I just want to hear RBG be like, yeah, I don't know, fucking slice his dick. Whatever. I hate this guy.
You're right. This lawyer is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Take him down with that katana.
Man. I'm into trial by combat.
Yeah, especially for, like, really dumb things.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, it's...
Like, you know, I'm not okay with this guy wanting to, like, murder two people just because he's mad at how things went with his ex-wife. But, like... The blunted sword thing, where those bamboo swords they use for practice. Yeah, now seeing two people go at it with that, I could get behind that.
Yeah, kendo sticks just go nuts on each other.
Yeah.
Or I mean, honestly, fuck it. Just put people in those two people in those big blow up like sumo suits and just have them run around and bounce off of each other. There's so many options here. Trial by combat. There are limitless options to trial. But
I mean, so many options.
If anything, this guy is thinking too small. And obviously, he does want lethality involved in this trial by combat.
Yeah, that's like, the concerning part, really.
And really just like disconnecting their souls from their corporal bodies.
Corporal.
Yeah.
Lance corporal bodies.
So, I mean, like, this guy's taking it a little too far. I mean, sure.
Yes, but...
I do love that he's just like, his ex-wife can choose her attorney as a champion, quote champion, or a stand-in fighter. And it's just like, yeah. If you want, or I can kill you with a sword, since you destroyed me legally.
Destroyed me legally. I know you destroyed me within the confines of this legal process, which is what we're doing here. But what I would like to do is take it outside of this legal process and murder you? So can we do that part?
Legally, you fucked me up better than Burt Ward's Big Hog. Legally, I am just absolutely wrecked down there.
I'm all ripped up.
Just all ripped up. Well, Michael, what do you got going on for me this week, buddy?
Well, I think we need to move on to this website that you sent me, because we need to find love again, Kush.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's about obviously time. we've seen how love goes wrong, so let's get a whiff of that good love, huh, buddy.
There's a boy, this the URL for this is just smell.dating, which
smell.dating.
I don't understand how that's a URL. Like I don't know how URLs work, but I'm pretty sure that .dating was not one of the approved.
Well, Michael, recently ICANN, the International Council of blah, 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 they released a whole bunch of new top-level domains extensions. And yeah, there's like, you know, we could be tilpcast.horse if we wanted to.
We can, and we're not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I have weirdbutts.biz.
I knew .biz, but .dating? All right.
Actually, I think it's weirdbutts.online is what I have. Let me see if that works.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So the first mail order dating service.
Wait,
now
order?
Mail odor dating service. Thank you, Kush.
Yeah. You get it right.
Very importantly, there are 7 steps on how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are very close to do nothing.
Mm.
But number 1, we send you a t-shirt. Cool.
Yeah.
Easy enough. Number 2, you wear the t-shirt for 3 days and 3 nights without deodorant.
Okay.
Which, once again, that's step 2. Step 1 was do nothing.
Do nothing.
Shirt arrives. Step 2 is...
continue. Do
nothing.
Do nothing.
Yeah.
Keep doing nothing.
3, this one is very important. You return the shirt to us in a prepaid envelope. That is doing something.
Yeah. Okay.
That's going to be hard for me, but I can maybe figure it out. We send you swatches of t-shirts worn by a selection of other individuals.
Okay, sure.
So I assume it's like kind of like the new baseball card packs where you have like the game-worn jerseys in there. But
yeah,
these will be swatches of nasty, nasty, 3-day, 3-night-old, just rancid shirts.
Mm-hmm. And 5. But maybe you'll get a hologram Pikachu in there.
Maybe.
You know?
Number 5, you smell the samples and tell us who you like.
Mm-hmm.
If someone whose smell you like likes the smell of you too, we'll facilitate an exchange of contact information. And number 7, the rest is up to you.
So number 7 is the first do something step, which is just, can you imagine that conversation? Like, hey, got your number from the stink dating site, and
the stink site.
I like your musk. I think.
Look, here's the thing. Am I allowed? It doesn't say you're not allowed to shower, thank God. But still, like, why 3 days and 3 nights without deodorant? After 1 day, I'm pretty sure my stank is all up in that shirt.
All up in the business, yeah.
There's no need for the other 2 days. I'm smelling what I'm gonna smell like.
Yeah.
With no deodorant.
So, Michael, I just scrolled down to the FAQs, so important. First question. What is smell? I'm glad you asked. They have a 9-sentence description of what is smell, but it is one of the most poignant and evocative experiences afforded by the human sensory apparatus.
I agree. There is a big connection between smell and experience, because you can like smell something you haven't smelled in a while, and like all those memories come flooding back to you. Smell is one of those scents that's very easy to kind of imprint onto a memory. I get it.
So I always feel, or I have in the past, in past relationships, felt like a bad partner, because I've had 2 exes who would like, I think scent was a big sense for them. And like, they would notice like, or say that I was like, hey, I like your scent, or like, you know, your like scent was on the pillow or whatever. And I never smell anything. Like, my sense of smell is just, I think, very limited. And
like, I'm with you. I don't...
like, I don't pick... I get my own brand, and I hate that, so I can't imagine sending it to someone captured in a rag like a very bad genie. But, like, it does... like, I don't think... I mean, one, the service would not work for me if I chose to do it, because I just don't smell anything.
Maybe you do, and you just don't realize it.
Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe I just haven't found the right stink.
There you go.
The love stink.
Well, question number 2. Why should I choose matches via smell?
Mm-hmm.
At Smell Dating, we understand the metrics of compatibility are chemical, which is true. Love is just a chemical going into your brain.
Sure. They do say connection is a matter of intercourse, not interface. I don't really know what that sentence means.
Well, maybe the next one will clear it up. The internet has replaced fleshy experience with flat apparitions, avatars, and painstakingly curated profile pics.
That is true. I mean, I will say, Michael, you know, I'm on those apps. They suck. They're very bad. Hard to get to know, like, to get a sense of who someone really is from the profiles. But I can't. One, fleshy experience is bad as a phrase. But also, I don't know, mailing my stink rag to someone, I don't know if that's better than, it's like, at least I know that, like, they chose that picture because, oh, they think they look cute or they had a fun answer there.
I will say, though, that, like, out of all things, all senses that you can use to identify a mate, a significant other, especially when you're talking, when you're matching up anonymous people, smell is probably the one that is least likely to cause issues, like from a personal security standpoint. Like if sight, if you see the person, you know who that person is. If you hear their voice, you can immediately distinguish. Touching them, that's just inappropriate for someone you don't know.
Yeah.
Tasting them, doubly so. But smelling, like, I'm sending you a shirt. There's no way, like, even if I were to walk by while you were smelling that shirt, I got it covered up by deodorant and you never know.
Never know. Okay, Michael, now I'm thinking about this. I think this might be, I mean, it's not secretly genius, but I will say I can see this working for two reasons. One, it's essentially just blind dating, you know?
It really is blind dating.
It's just blind dating, but you've already limited your pool to anyone who is the same brand of weird as you, that they will wear the same shirt for 3 days with the explicit intention of mailing it to a secret service that will ship it to a handful of strangers to sniff. So, like, that's, like, okay, we're all on board with that idea being a good idea. So, like, okay, you guys have some level of compatibility already because you're crazy. So that's great. And then you get to sniff the shirt. And if it reeks, like, very bad, you're like, okay. If it smells like nothing, you're like, all right, that's probably fine. If it smells bad, I can exclude that one. Great. And then you can just be like, on a blind date, I've been on a handful of blind dates. They've all kind of worked out. They've been nice people. At the very worst, I met someone new. I got drinks with someone. So, like,
and you know they don't smell that bad.
And again, we at least have something in common that we have sent a stink rag to someone else in the mail. Via a third party.
So one of the things that's interesting, though, is that they do not ask about sexual orientation of gender. Mm-hmm. It is literally, they send you a shirt, you send it back. There is no identifying features. And, you know, they're saying that, like, a growing body of research suggests that a person's genetic compatibility, gender, age, and predisposition to illness are reflected in their, quote-unquote, smell signature. Mm-hmm. The predisposition to illness part is a little weird. Even in blinded experiments, subject smell preferences align broadly with their sexual desires. So it's possible you could find something very important out about yourself.
That's true. Okay. And nose doesn't lie. That's okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
The very last question is actually pretty good, too. What if I match with someone who's not my type? It says, don't worry. Social stratification may well be legible in odor cues. Trust yourself. Your nose knows. So basically, it's like, what if I get matched with someone I don't like, and they go, you're wrong, basically. Like, your nose told us, so sorry.
What if I meet someone who's way out of my fucking league, and or to me, below my league? It's like, don't worry. Shoot your shot. They love your...
They meet with the nose.
They love your good stink. Get in there.
So, you know what? I mean, it is one thing. It is truly anonymous, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I will say, as having lived with someone, been married for a long time now.
Yeah.
If Rachel smelled bad, it would have not lasted very long.
And I mean, Michael, Lord knows why Rachel's kept you around for this long.
Oh, deodorant.
Yeah, that's, thank God for that. There's no way without that. You had... Poof. So many do-nothings, and one critical, I'll put on deodorant today. Do something. I do like this, though, before the last question. Is my genetic data safe? Answer, we really don't know.
We really don't know.
For now, we will only share your anonymized genetic sample with our members. Our terms and conditions may change in the future based on our capricious whims.
We may choose to pull your DNA off of this nasty shirt and make a fucking sex robot out of it. We don't know. We pivoted. Sorry. Now we're sex not fucking your smell.
We're going to scrape all the stem cells out of it, put it into a robot, and then turn it. Actually, yeah. You know what? We're going to turn you into a robot, and then we're going to steal the girl that you're meant for. We're going to steal your boy. We're going to have
by
this,
using your smell.
We're going to have this good stink bot. Go find your soulmate before you can, and then you're going to live alone forever. And you can't beat this very strong robot in trial by combat.
You cannot. He's good at everything, so you can't even find something he's bad
at. He's smarter, faster, stronger. Literally, this robot will beat you.
I just... would you use this?
I mean, I kind of alluded to it. Michael, at this point, fuck yeah, man. I don't know.
I'm so curious. I'm so curious about the process of it. I need someone that can do this, that I can be. I want to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. Oh well, the first round is closed for registration. Aww. Sign up to be notified. Okay, I'm gonna sign up, Mike. Here we go, Mike. My email. Yep. All right, signed up. Yeah, I mean, at this point, it can't be any worse than the dating app. So, sure.
Smell that dating, and you know what? What a great story. How did you know? How did you and Grandma meet? Grandpa Cushing? And we're like, well...
I poured 3 days of hot, nasty ass sweat into a single t-shirt, and then I sent it to a bunch of strangers to cut up into smaller rags with distilled stink on it. And then they sent it to Grandma. And she...
And it was love at first smell.
Yeah, she just really caught a whiff of this guy.
She's gobbled up all that odor.
Oh, boy. I didn't need to hear that.
Whew.
Michael, I want to bring it back a little bit to, well, eventually it's going to get back to murder. So, sorry, buckle in. Michael, you know, so new year, 2020, January means new TV or returning TV shows. And
wait, before you go too far.
Yeah.
Isn't it fucking bonkers that it's 2020?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was the year we always talked about, at least. You know, my group as kids of the 90s, like 2020 was like the coolest fucking year ever.
Yeah.
And now it's here. And honestly,
not impressed.
Eh.
The world is actually looking back, like from 1995 as a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I had very high hopes. Also, the world seemed pretty good in 1995.
It did, yeah.
The world is demonstrably worse in a number of different ways in 2020. Sure, like we have...
It's better I think on the whole, the world is better in that there are more people who are doing better than there were 25 years ago.
Yeah, and also, I guess smartphones are pretty good.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like not just, you get the disillusionment of the fact that, you know, you're no longer 10 anymore, mm-hmm. which means the world sucks. But then it also just objectively bad right now.
Yeah, it's not great. Well, Michael, here to really just raise your spirits, is a brand new streaming service, a streaming TV service.
Yes. You know what? I was just thinking, I don't have enough.
I need 8 more. A little service called, I'm going to think it's Quibi, Quibi.
Sure.
A new streaming service that will install or deliver quick bites of content. So episodes running 10 minutes or less for these shows.
10 minutes? That's not an episode. That's just a long commercial.
It's an SNL skit that overstayed its welcome.
it's pretty good.
Thanks. But yeah, so it's launching April 6th, 2020 for $40.99 a month with ads, $7.99 without. So it costs as much as Hulu. And okay, but
what do I get for that?
Kind of a lot, and some of them are pretty fucking dope. So I sent you one earlier, but I won't, before we get to that one, because I think that is the number one with a bullet winner. But just to bring this back a little bit, first show on the list, Chrissy's Court. Chrissy Teigen will preside over real life small claims cases, Judge Judy style, with final and legally binding verdicts. Oh, and her
fuck,
mom
that's
is,
worth $4.99 to me immediately.
And
already.
Her mom is the bailiff. And if like John Legend isn't in the jury box, like jamming on a piano the whole time, I'm kind of a little mad.
Oh, fuck. All right. Gonna sign up for Quibi right now.
Yep. Elba versus Block. Idris Elba in doing stunt driving with a professional rally car driver, Ken Block. That's pretty good.
Who created this? This is like...
So it's headed by Jeffrey Katzenberg, who I forget what he did. I think he was at NBC for a while. And then Mae Whitman, who famously almost ran Hewlett Packard into the ground. Punked and Singled Out are coming back. That's great.
Punked and Singled Out?
Yeah.
Singled Out was a good show.
Yeah, okay, let's go. There's a couple good ones here. A show called Killing Zac Efron.
Okay.
In which he, which I think he almost died filming. He's like basically goes out in the jungle and just like does expeditions.
Okay, so you know what? I'm more on board with the 10-minute thing because that means they can entice a lot more.
Exactly.
Probably B to A list celebrities to do stupid shit for like a short period of time and then go on their way.
Here's one that if they do not lean into the bit, I am going to be very mad. And Michael, I hope you know what I mean when I say lean into the bit. This is called Potty Talk. Renowned fashion designer Alexander Wang will host a talk show like no other, interviewing celebrities in the bathroom at high-profile events.
Okay, yeah, if he doesn't have, like, Wang talk.
It's got to be Wang, like, it has to be interviews at a urinal, the two of them sitting in different poop stalls, and, like, if I don't hear grunts and splashes...
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm paying $4.99 a month with ads, so please, I need my content. Let's see, well, there's a couple other ones. Michael, here's one, very important. Legends of the Hidden Temple is coming back.
What?
Reworked for adults.
I can be on Legends of the Hidden Temple, Kush?
Yes, Michael, so this is a moment of validation for all of us fucking 90s kids who would watch Legend of the Hidden Temple and watch these ding-dong kids not be able to put together the three-piece monkey statue. It's like, hey, guys, now's your time to put up or shut up. You can't do it as an adult. I hope drunk. So scaled-up set, tougher challenges, bigger prizes, all mech still there. So that's great. Here's the one that I said to you that I think is actually the most brilliant thing in the world.
We're moving on to the last show already?
Oh, we don't have to. There's more. You want me to
keep going? Oh my God, there's so many.
Yeah, what do you got? Tell me about it.
Biggest Little Cook-Off?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Samberg will host, and it's a comedic competition series that will battle it out to create the best single bite of food.
That's pretty good.
Right?
I mean, that's all that the judges eat anyway. They take one little forkful. Might as well.
Yeah. Why are you making the whole cake? I'm just going to take one little nibble. I'll just make an entire nibble.
In your little nibby.
In one cake.
Varsity right. Blues, a modern take on the 1999 film. That's fun.
A modern take on the film. Wait, so what? Didn't they already make a TV show called Varsity Blues?
Yeah, but not in 10-minute episodes. It's so important. Reno 911 is coming back?
Oh, Skirt with Offset.
Michael, I don't want to alarm you, but this might actually be the best streaming service out there.
It's definitely right up there with Disney Plus.
Yeah, and Disney Plus is only good because of all the dumb old movies.
Right.
Okay, so Michael,
this
here's...
is some good news. I was just going through the reality. I didn't even make it to the other list of like dramas and...
There's so much on here, Michael.
Oh my God, this started out as a joke, but I'm all in on Quibi.
Yeah. Again, I not to alarm anyone, I do think this might be the best streaming service.
Ridley Scott.
Mm-hmm. Michael, there's a lot of... here's another one. I don't love the third, fourth, and fifth words of this one, but The Fugitive, a modern social media-infused update of the classic TV series and Harrison Ford film... I'm kind of into a serialized 10-minute version of The Fugitive. Okay.
I have no attention span anymore, so this is great.
This is, okay, Barkitecture for dog lovers. Quibi will offer this series in which dog owners commission luxurious, extravagant dog houses for their beloved pets. Yeah, I'm into it. Okay, Michael, here it is.
Rapper Warrior Ninja. What? Hip-hop stars will attempt to navigate a perilous obstacles course while freestyling.
Okay.
These are made up. These can't be real things, right? This is incredible. Whoever made this up is a fucking genius.
I mean, I think, again, the like 10-minute episode format can just be like, yeah, listen, Everyone who has a fucking idea, just kind of walk through my office and throw your idea, like attach it to a, like put a post-it note on a dart and just chuck it at my wall, and I'll make every show.
I guess they're just kind of like, they kind of like took Funny or Die, like YouTube content creators and like the idea behind those types of things, and then threw a whole bunch of fucking money at it, is what it seems like.
Dishmantled, an utterly neat cooking competition hosted by Titus Burgess, will begin with each episode by blasting a food dish into two blindfolded chef's faces with a cannon. They will then attempt to identify the dish and race to recreate it, with the prize going to whoever comes closest.
Spielberg's After Dark, which is not quite what you would think it was. It is a 10 or 12 chapter spooky story that can only be viewed after the sun goes down.
So it, like, it won't be available on the platform.
I assume it's time locked.
That's kind of brilliant. I like that. Like, you know what? We're going to gate this content off. You can't watch it except in the manner in which it was meant to be. Michael, here's the show that I first put me on the scent of Quibi. Murder House Flip. Perhaps best described as CSI meets HGTV, this show features a, quote, team of forensic specialists, spiritual healers, and high-end renovation experts taking on houses where scandalous or tragic events took place, including but not limited to murders, and then turning them from morbid to marvelous. They critically don't include the realtor in that cast, because that to me seems like, I mean, CSI, it brings together both sides of the equation. You got your cops, you got your lawyers making the case. So we're getting the cops part here. They're doing all the grunt work, the footwork, interviewing all the people, stacking boxes. But I don't get to see the money. I don't get to see the realtor be like, yeah, someone did get murdered for sure, right over there. Scrub that one. We erased all signs of death. Don't worry, ghosts.
Don't worry, we got it. We got it all.
We purged all the ghosts. Those were tough. They were tenacious and really stuck in there. But yeah, the ghosts are gone, so it's a nice little opportunity you got yourself here. Great deal.
We are thrilled to bring this one-of-a-kind series to life and dive into a world that combines America's two biggest TV obsessions, true crime and home renovation. Executive or Senior Vice President of Alternative and Syndicated Programming for Sony Pictures Television said.
I'm honestly shocked it hasn't happened sooner.
Yeah, I feel like they've tried to with some of these like ghost shows, but they didn't ever really focus in on the home renovation.
Well, the thing is, sure, you know, any asshole can go find a ghost in a house. Anyone can do that. Takes a real genius to find the ghost, befriend it, fix up the house it's living in. Because, by the way, all haunted houses look like dog shit. I don't know why, these families keep buying the dang things.
Doesn't make any sense. I think they think they're like, we'll put in some work and be fine.
No.
This show will play to both aspects, with spiritual healers and forensic specialists doing their thing on the property, you know, communing with the pissed off ghosts, figuring out exactly where the prostitutes were strangled before giving way to high-end renovation experts who will try their best but definitely fail to renovate the house in such a way that its residents and anyone else who visits will forget that a drifter once wandered into it one night and slaughtered a family who lived there with an axe. that is a review of Murder House Flip.
Legally, we do have to disclose that, yes, an axe murderer, a drifter did walk in and kill everyone here. Michael, would you buy a murder house?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I've been looking for a murder house to do like an overnight trip with some friends, especially for Halloween, if I could. And I actually did come across one very famous murder house. I think it's in Iowa, but they... Very hard to get a reservation there is all I'm saying. And it's like a minimum number of nights. It's a whole thing. And they don't necessarily always let you stay there. It's a weird thing. Like, you can go visit, but they won't let you stay overnight. And I'm like, what's the fucking point then? That's when the ghosts come out. Haven't you ever like heard the song or like talked about Monster Mash where they only come out at night and stuff? Come on.
Yeah. Michael, up until the last part when you started talking about Monster Mash, almost everything you were saying could actually have applied to tonight's Democratic debate in Des Moines, Iowa at the Drake University Theater. Like, literally word for word, all of that was like, yeah, it's a really tough venue to get into, one or two nights stay, a lot of old ghosts wandering around.
God, I don't even want to talk about it, because if it ends up being Joe Biden, I just
I think at this point I'm just going to be Yang Gang as a joke. Like, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
May as well.
I'll take your UBI, buddy.
Today, my wife changed her Facebook status from married to widowed. I'm scared. FML.
I'm more worried at, I mean, yeah, not to say that's a sign of anything, but you probably should be worried. Just like, I feel like if anyone is updating any Facebook information on their profile at this point, not to be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you've touched any of your settings on your Facebook in, I don't know, the last 2 years, you're probably a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't been on Facebook in forever, and I went there a couple days ago, and I had like three messages from people that like I would have responded to if I ever went on Facebook, and so I feel really bad, but I'm also like,
oh yeah, sorry.
Is it weird to respond now?
Sorry to listener Lauren for just not responding to that. I was like, I'm so hungover right now. I can't do it. Oh, Michael, I do want to share one thing before we go. I haven't seen a ton of Oscar movies, but I did watch Parasite the other night.
Oh, I want to see that so bad. Please don't tell me anything about it. I will stab you.
I won't say anything, but I will say that I read a couple like stories and tweets about like celebrities and like Elon Musk saying it was like their favorite movie of the year. And mm-hmm. like, without spoiling anything, they did not absorb the message of that film.
Okay, I can't wait. I'm gonna try to watch it this weekend. Rachel's out of town. She doesn't like horror movies.
It's not a horror movie at all.
It's not?
Nope. Will Rachel
watch it?
I think so.
Or like it if she watched it?
I think she would find the humor very appealing because it's pretty goofy.
Are there like jump scares and stuff though?
No. There's like one moment that is like tense, but then I even hesitate to say that much because like I went in with no, I knew nothing about it, but it's not
all right.
Yeah. It's not a scary movie at all. Like there's some things that are just like weird. Cause like there's some cultural gaps between like South Korean here, but like it's, I understood it all. It's funny, way funnier than I thought it was going to be. So yeah.
See, I thought it was like from the very little I saw or like the pictures I saw or screenshots or whatever, it looked very like, it looked like a creepy movie.
No, there's a couple moments. I mean, the premise is a little creepy, but like it's good.
All right, sweet.
There's some moments that are like, it's weird, but yeah, it's fine. Well, Michael, it's been lovely talking to you, buddy. Everyone, if you enjoyed this episode, you can find more information about it and our sister show at Longest Days of Our Lives, which we are watching every episode of The Hit Show 24. We are about 9 hours into day three, and we're back in business on that one. Got two new episodes up. Got another one coming out next week. You can find out more information at goodbuddymedia.com, home to one brand new blog posts.
Fuck yes, I did it.
Michael did a blog, part of our New Year's resolutions. I'm gonna do one too. I think it's my turn this week. Did we say we're gonna change it out, switch it out?
We could, and you know what? It doesn't have to be a week to week. If something pops in your head,
yeah,
just pop on there, blog about it, man.
Okay. I've read a couple.
The people want to know what we have to say.
A little tap, tap, tap. I'll tap out a blog post.
Little tappity tap.
Yeah, so check out that. So the blogs are up. Well, one blog is up. There'll be more coming. That's a tilt goddamn guarantee.
Hell yeah. Take that to the bank.
Yeah. Can't cash it, but whatever. Bring it. Well, Michael, how else can people help us out?
You can help us out by finding us on your favorite podcast app by searching for Trends in Low Places. And when you find us, please smash that subscribe button. Give us a nice 5-star rating. And if you have a couple extra minutes, maybe a review. Your own little personal blog post in the form of a review about how great we are.
Leave a 5-star review challenging us to trial by combat in whatever form seems best to you.
Yes. And maybe we'll do it. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll meet you on the field of battle.
Psh, I ain't scared.
Yeah.
You can also help us out by finding us on Twitter.
Michael, now that I'm thinking about it, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. And I hope people stick around for this because I think it's just a real just.
I don't know
gemma.
If they do. That's the thing.
Well,
like,
you
we,
know what? Some people,
there's so much fun stuff that comes on in these last few minutes, and no one's ever mentioned it. I assume that people just turn us off.
So, Michael, I want to talk about. So, in throughout history, and I think same for Mr. Ostrom or whatever here, trial by combat. So you're not just legally correct. If you win. Or in the past, if you won trial by combat, you were chosen by God. Like, it was God's whim and fate that mm-hmm, you were in the right and you were forgiven and protected by God. Which, yep. Now that I'm thinking about it, is kind of like smell dating, but for law. You just put some energy out into the universe.
God sniffed it?
Legally, God took a good whiff and was like, this is my ride or die dog. I love this guy's stank. And he can do no wrong. So, trial by combat, I think smell dating is onto something. It's really dating by combat.
You know what? And that interpretation of trial by combat is actually a very rosy outlook for people in the Middle Ages to have had. It wasn't that, like, because they're saying, like, you were chosen by God because you won. And not that the other person lost because they were just the fucking worst. And God hated them so much.
I think there is, if you saw Game of Thrones, obviously some pretty stark loopholes in the system. But it's like, hey, man, you're going to trial for, like, a lot of murder. We know you're good at that. And you're like, trial by combat, please. I'd like to exercise more murder. For my trial.
Yeah.
I've proven my prowess.
Honestly, if you're about to go to jail to be, like, hung or, like, eaten by dogs or whatever, blown up by a dragon, whatever they were going to do, like, may as well go out swinging a sword at somebody, mm-hmm. even if you're bad at it. Like,
yeah.
if they were like, hey, you're going to be sentenced to death, and I'm like, trial by combat, and they'd be like, why? You're going to lose. Like, I don't care. I want to get chopped in half by that guy.
Going on my own terms, baby.
Let's go. Let's party.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, again, I'd rather than, like, scorpions, like, clawing my nuts off over, like, let the mountain chop me in half, like, full, straight down the middle, toe to tip.
Yeah, throw me off of a cliff.
Toe to tip, just slice me right up. I don't care. Sorry, Michael, I interrupted you. How else can people help us out?
You can help us out by finding us on Twitter and Instagram at TILPcast. Follow us there. We've been a little bit more active on the old Twitters recently on both El Duocast as well for Longest Days of Our Lives. So, shoot us a message there. If you have a story that you'd like us to read or, I don't know, anything, any reaction to anything we've, done on the show, or, you can also contact us at goodbuddymedia@gmail.com. You can send us stories there or, send pictures of frogs or whatever, whatever you feel like doing, really.
Again, that last one though. I don't
the stories. You don't want them to send the stories.
No, the stories are good. I love that. I got to source content because again, my motto. You know that, Michael. Do nothing.
do nothing.
But when it comes to frogs, man, I really wish our listeners would do nothing on that front. And my friends, everyone who knows me, actually, just don't do nothing. Just do nothing.
What if it was just like a pile of dead frogs? Is that no good either?
It's
is that still bad?
A pile of fucking frogs. Okay. Am I glad they're dead? Hell yeah. Yes, they deserve to die. I hope they burn in hell. I don't want to see them. I want to see how the froggy sausage is made. I just want them dead.
I think that's all the ways to contact us, unless, like, you know us personally, and then you can just call us or text us or something.
Yeah.
I guess.
And if you're determined enough and don't know us, I bet you can do that too. So,
probably. Our shit's out there, man. I do not protect it at all.
Believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, it's been lovely talking with you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you too. Toodles. Yang gang.
Yang gang. At least get my $1,000.